Good afternoon. I'm Hannah Levine. You've got it tuned to the home stretch only here on 91.3 FM KXCI Tucson, streaming online everywhere at kxci.org. It's just past 4 o'clock on this Monday, which means it's time to welcome my regular guest. Chris Carey volunteers his time each week to select and research our classic picks. This week coming in with a classic soul release from Jill Scott. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me today. We're looking at Jill Scott's debut, Who is Jill Scott? Words and Sounds, Volume Number 1. It came out 20 years ago this week. It came out July 18th. And so this is on the young end of what we do for classic picks. Basically, it can be anything from any genre as long as it's 20 years old and really good. So I thought this was a good one to do because I haven't done a more recent classic pick in a while. So I decided to look at this one. Jill Scott, what I really like about her is she's not just somebody that uses elements of classic R&B. She incorporates a lot of jazz, a little bit of funk, a little bit of hip hop, and various other styles into what she does. And the result is, I think, magical. She was born on April 4th, 1972 in Philadelphia. She's a very Philadelphia-centric artist. She's probably as big in Philadelphia as the OJs are. She was raised by her mother and grandmother. Even though she's got a beautiful, technically great voice, when she was young, she didn't sing a lot. She didn't do a lot with music. She was much more interested in poetry and prose. After high school, she attended Temple University in Philadelphia, and she had planned on becoming a high school English teacher. And after spending some time as a teacher's aide, she kind of got disillusioned with education and dropped out of college. Then, after she dropped out of college when she was like 20, she began pursuing theater and performing arts and poetry. And she performed a lot in Philadelphia at poetry readings and poetry slams. And while she was pursuing theater, she actually landed a role in a Canadian production of Rent and toured a little bit with that. But when she got interested in music, was at a particularly poetry reading in Philadelphia. One of the attendees was Questlove of the Roots. And he was pretty impressed with her work and afterwards went up to talk to her and said, "Hey, I really liked your poetry. Do you happen to write any songs?" And she said, "Of course I do. I write a lot of songs." And she admitted years later that she was totally lying. She didn't want to burn this potential bridge. And so she told him that she did write songs. And soon the Roots actually invited her into the studio and she ended up getting a co-writing credit on the song You Got Me, which was on the Roots 1999 Things Fall Apart CD. Initially, she was going to be featured as the vocalist. She recorded the song with the Roots because she was unknown. The label wanted to get somebody in to sing the female parts in this song who was well known. And so the label kind of forced the band to re-record the song with Erykah Badu singing the parts. Even though Scott did get the credit on the album that she wrote the song, she didn't actually perform it on the recording, but she ended up going on tour at least part of the dates, maybe not all of them, but she sang on stage with the Roots, the parts of this song quite a bit. It's interesting is because that is the first time she co-wrote a song and it ended up winning a Grammy for Best Rap Performance in 1999. So not long after that, the Roots also recorded The Roots Come Alive. And on that, they featured a version of You Got Me with Jill Scott singing. And through those connections that she had with Questlove, she ended up getting to sing a backup on a Will Smith record, Willennium, which came out in 1999. And while working with Will Smith, she met Jeff Towns, aka DJ Jazzy Jeff, who was really impressed by her and her lyrics and her voice. And he helped get her signed to Hidden Beach Recordings, which was a small label out of Philadelphia that specialized in alternative R&B, soul, and jazz that was ran by Stephen McKeever. And they both really liked her. And they actually ended up acting as the executive producer on Jill Scott's first record. There's like 17 tracks or 18 tracks on this album. And almost every track has a different producer. And so DJ Jazzy Jeff, Jeff Towns, and Stephen McKeever, they kind of organized this whole thing. I think that they did work on a couple of tracks themselves. But yeah, it was recorded at different times from 1999 and 2000 at Touch of Jazz Studios, which was also in Philadelphia. So this is a very Philadelphia record, which is cool because Philadelphia is a very soul town. It's got a long history of really great soul acts coming out of there. This is probably one of the earlier neo-soul albums that got a lot of attention. And at the time, in 2000, neo-soul was still kind of a newer genre. I mean, the term had only been coined in the late 90s by Kadarin Messenberg, he managed both D'Angelo and Erykah Badu, who are probably, you could call, the two first kind of neo-soul kind of artists. The neo-soul, of course, kind of incorporate kind of classic elements of soul and R&B. It also incorporates elements of hip-hop, jazz, funk, afro-pop, and a lot of other modern styles. So it's kind of got a modern feel, but at the same time, it kind of feels old, which in my opinion, music that kind of sounds new and old at the same time, new and familiar, those are always my favorite artists. I think that's why, in general, I'm very attracted to neo-soul, because it kind of does sound new and old at the same time. Some other real prominent neo-soul artists, in addition to Badu Scott and D'Angelo, are like Lauryn Hill, Alicia Keys, NDRE, Raphael Sadiq, Amy Winehouse, Angie Stone. They're all great. This record, commercially, did really good from the get-go. It actually featured four different singles, and it charted very well. It actually ended up at number 2 on the R&B Billboard chart and number 17 on the top 200 albums chart. And this actually also charted in a bunch of different countries, including the UK, New Zealand, Belgium, Switzerland, Sweden, Norway, France, and the Netherlands, and sold well over 2.5 million copies. So this was Scott's debut, and it was multi-platinum. And even though every one of her records that she's released since have sold pretty well, none of them have come close to the 2.5 million that this sold. She's had several records that have become gold, but this was her only multi-platinum release. Not only was this the first record on the small label Hidden Beach Recordings, it's still, to this day, it's the best-selling record that they've ever released. She got 3 nominations in 2001 for Best R&B Album, Best Female R&B Performance, and Best New Artist. And then in 2002 and 2003, she got a nomination for Best Female R&B Vocal Performance for additional singles as they came out. Critically, everybody loved this from the get-go. It was widely praised. It made most every magazine's kind of list of best albums for the year. This is a great record. Following this album, Scott has released an additional 6 studio and live albums, and they all range from totally good to really good. I like everything she's done. 4 of those went gold. But what's kind of interesting is she's participated in a lot of other collaborative projects too, and she still tours regularly. I mean, I just looked her up on Pollstar, which is like the industry kind of tells you how shows do and what artists average. And she averages between 3,000 and 4,000 people a show all the time when she plays. And she did a whole tour at the beginning of this year. I don't know if she was able to do all the dates before the whole COVID thing started, but I know that she was playing a lot of dates in celebration of this 20-year anniversary. And actually, a colleague of mine who books a venue in Grand Rapids, Michigan, told me that she saw her in Chicago in February, and it was an amazing show. She also, in addition to singing, she started acting not much after she recorded this record. And she's been in several movies and made-for-TV movies and some TV shows as well. And she considers herself a poet. And what's kind of interesting is Jill Scott kind of took a trajectory similar to Patti Smith. She saw herself more as a poet than she did a singer and kind of got coaxed into the singing thing when she met Questlove. And so kind of like Patti Smith, she started off as a poet and became a singer, but she still publishes her poetry. And I think she's put out a couple of books of her poetry. And she's also been very big in philanthropy, specifically raising money for minorities to attend college. And she's been a huge champion for feminist ideals. In general, she just seems like a pretty cool person on top of being a pretty cool artist.
Excellent. I've been talking with Chris Carey about this week's classic pick, Jill Scott's Who is Jill Scott? Words and Sounds, Volume 1. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you.